Don't. Please don't. You really gonna do this?
Yeah, it's our show. We do what we want.
Oh my god, no. Not another freaking wrestling podcast.
Yay!
Alright, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Not Another Freaking Wrestling Podcast. As always, your hosts are JD.
And T.Y.
And Jake Kidney.
Yeah. By the way, for our Chattanooga folks, there was a tractor trailer full of batteries that tipped over at the 2475 split. That split sucks enough. And with that happening, it was worse. And Jake is probably still on the road as we speak.
So yeah, we're recording about Jake this week. Sorry, buddy. We can't wait to have you back in the studio next week.
Yes, I miss you.
So, and he was at Ego this weekend. Ego had a show. They had, what was it, Dirty Black Summer?
I believe it was Dirty Black Summer.
I have no results from the show right now, so we'll have those next week. But from all accounts, it's a pretty good show from what I'm seeing on Facebook.
Absolutely, yeah. I know Barry was kind of speaking on it, that normally around this time of the year, it's a really slow one because school's starting and it's still hot and all that. But according to what I've seen, it was still a very good show, good house, and very good to hear that Ego is doing so well. It's always a good place to be at.
Yeah, great locker room.
Absolutely, yeah. Love the guys there.
So, and you went to a show this weekend, too.
I did. Where'd you go? Very last minute, but I was invited to Resolute Wrestling in Crossville, Tennessee. It's another time zone, so I was I was in the Back to the Future mode, except no DeLorean. No, I was on the pre-show. I was actually wrestling. Wrestled a guy named James Cole. He's very good. He's a really good heel. They had me babyface.
Worked with him a few times.
They had me babyface.
Oh, that's weird.
That's very weird. I had a great time. The fans welcomed me with open arms, which is a very rare feeling because, again, I'm never really heel. But
never really baby.
Never really baby.
Gotcha.
Whatever. I'm used to saying heel because that's the common.
Yeah,
the common thing. But we had a fantastic match. It was short, but the point was across. He got his heat. I got some shine. People gave me they didn't give me a standing O, but they clapped to say, hey, good job, and all that stuff. And intermission, I had a lot of people talk to me, tell me they enjoyed my match, and you'll get them next time. Of course, these fans are, what's the word? They're storytelling-based fans.
Yeah.
If you're a good guy, they'll cheer you. If you're a bad guy, they'll boo you. Super easy. I really enjoyed my time there.
How's the rest of the card?
Oh, fantastic. It was phenomenal.
Who main evented?
It was like a six-man, like the six-pack challenge is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
Six guys at the same time. It was for two belts. It was for the pound-for-pound and the undisputed belt. The first fall was for the pound-for-pound, and Dreamweaver Wayne Moxie was the winner of that fall.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wayne Moxie has reinvented himself in the most amazing way.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see. Dude, you're doing great things.
And he's with Toby Farley at Philadelphia, and I saw some video of their stuff, and man, Moxie is just... He's out there, and like you can point him out to a lot of people. You know where he's at. He's like a bad sore on a butt. So, but the undisputed champion from the second fall was I don't want to mess his name up. Dallas Troy, was that right?
I don't know.
Oh boy, are you yawning? Are you tired?
I'm worn out.
How many hours of sleep did you get last night?
Last night more than I needed, but the last two nights none.
That sounds like me. Anywho, That six man, I want to say it was Dallas Troy, Wayne Moxie, Big O, Pitbull Brett Austin, Uncle Biff, and oh my god, anybody from Resolute that's listening to this, I want you to remind me and go on Facebook and tell me how much of a piece of garbage I am for forgetting who that last guy was. So I really apologize.
Let's, okay.
Yeah. I mean, but the the event was really good. My favorite match of the whole card was Caleb Courageous against Chase Jordan.
Oh, I heard that was a good banger.
Holy smokes, it was fantastic.
It looked like a banger on paper, man.
I actually had to watch that in the crowd.
Yeah.
I'd be a spectator for that one. Also, a very good match was Tyler Foshi. God, I hope I got that name right, too, against Jason Kincaid. That was fantastic as well. But man, from top to bottom, if I were to give it, I would give it a 2 thumbs up. It was basically their WrestleMania of the show, and it was an honor for me to be a part of it. And if you live in the Crossville area, or if you want to travel to see another show, be sure to check those guys out. Fantastic.
All right, so real quick, at the top of the show, we want to address some news that's coming out this week. We normally don't, but this is the second week in a row we've talked about the big leagues.
Yep.
We try to avoid the big leagues, but this has implications for all of wrestling. NXT is apparently imminently going to announce a TV deal with USA for 2 hours probably tomorrow, right?
It will be announced tomorrow on Raw. Again, if you're going to watch Raw, I would recommend being at least buzzed at the most. No, so, I'm kidding. I don't particularly say stuff like that except for last week. But if you do, check out Monday Night Raw to see what's going on with NXT, where they're going to be at, which is at this point going to be announced that they will be on Saturday, October 2nd on USA. I think it's October 2nd.
I think it's a Wednesday deal, isn't it?
It is a Wednesday deal, which also means they will be head-to-head.
Yeah, they'll be head-to-head with AEW. Now, why this is important for wrestling in general is because, whether people like it or not, or want to admit it, the wrestling wars have started again.
Yes.
I mean, people are saying AEW is not in a position to be in a war with WWE. They're wrong. They are 100% wrong. Tony Khan, I'm sorry, has much deeper pockets than Vince McMahon could ever hope to have.
Yep.
Number one, TNT is covering all their production costs for the show, number two. And number three, they have a wealth of young talent that honestly just needs the TV show to launch themselves.
Exactly. And it's not one of those, it's not going to be like your typical Monday Night Wars for one. No. It's not on Monday. And two, the talent on NXT and the talent on AEW, both are fantastic.
You're largely going to see the same brand of wrestling or the same style of wrestling on both shows.
Exactly.
And that's the big crux of the thing, is fans are going to have to choose whether or not they want to go with the established WWE or with the upstart AEW. Now, the big thing for me in this is for Vince, it's a win-win for Vince. It's a lose-lose for AEW.
Yes.
Because for Vince, if they don't compete with AEW, you can say, oh, they're not supposed to. It's just a developmental brand. If they do beat AEW, you can say, oh, look at that. We beat the competition with our developmental brand.
Yes.
AEW, if they beat them, okay, you just beat WWE's developmental ratings. Good for you. If they don't, that looks really bad.
Well, the thing is, also, to be fair, NXT is the most watched program from WWE. And I say that because there's way more story-wise investments in wrestling going on in NXT, and everybody's always talking about it. Like, if you're talking about Raw or SmackDown, it's always something so negative because of story based on how they're putting this stuff together. And it's just like, you go on Twitter, it's like somebody's always so negative, but when it comes to NXT, especially with the takeovers, it's like 2 thumbs up. Everybody's Dave Meltzer giving everything 5 stars.
So one last thing I'd like to address before we move on to our guest on this NXT thing, is Full Sail still providing the students to do production for them in-house?
Yes.
What does that mean for Full Sail students? Are they getting paid to do that in the first place? Or is it just part of the degree thing?
It might be part of the degree thing. It may be just like an internship thing.
Well, let me just say, because if it's part of the degree thing, now you got to start paying those students.
I would, but at the same time, and don't get triggered, people, but if NXT is going to USA, Vince McMahon is going to be seen a lot. He's going to be a part of that. Let's just be real about it, because you're going from the network to cable television, and Vince is really going to want to put a hand on that. And if anybody wants to argue with me and say otherwise, you're a fool. because this is now we're working with television.
So with these Full Sail students, the biggest issue for me I see in this, especially being in media, is working on NXT and the production duties was looked at as a chance to kind of, you know, get some experience coming out of college. But if you're doing this in college and it's a televised product and they're making money off of it, the students should be getting paid.
I agree.
But I mean, that's just me. So that's the news for this week. We'll take a break out of here and we'll be back with our guests.
Yep. Yep. And yep.
Hey everybody, we're glad you're enjoying Not Another Freaking Wrestling Podcast, but I gotta tell you about another one out there. Our good friends at Not Safe for Wrestling, who you've heard every single one of them on this show, just started a podcast, the Not Safe for Wrestling Podcast, and they've got some awesome things going on over there. They even did one with Julie, Drew's wife, called Not Safe for Wrestling Wives. Get perspective from a little different side of it. So go on over there and check it out. All right, everybody, we're here with our guest, Gabe Walters. Gabe, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, JD. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Yeah, man. So you were my manager for a while.
Yes, sir.
And you've been a manager around here for a little bit. So let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us like how you got started in the business and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, first of all, I moved to Georgia from Detroit, Michigan, back in May of 2005. As a teenager, I did what every intelligent human being who loves wrestling does and did backyard shit.
I thought you were going to say smoke weed.
I said intelligent.
Oh.
I mean, well, okay, let's just move on.
I can't admit to doing illegal things on the air, JD.
That's true.
Come on.
That's true. So yeah.
There's no pot for
so game. You were a backyard again.
Yes.
How did that go?
It went very, very... poorly.
Did you do it for your juggalos and juggalettes?
What's a juggalo?
Moving on.
No, I actually did it. There's an enormous age gap between me and my two older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in 84. My two sisters were born in 63 and 65.
Wow.
So my sister and my mom were having kids at the same time. So I had four other boys that were around my age, and we loved wrestling, and we decided to wrestle each other. And
so I just have to ask, because I don't meet many people in the business that started off in backyards. Did you guys have a ring?
We did not.
No, it's
just in the backyard. Literally
in the yard. Oh wow.
So you didn't use like a box spring and stuff like that?
No.
I'll admit, my brothers and I used to simulate wrestling matches on the trampoline.
Was your ring name Superhuman?
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 No, but that guy is getting a ton of traction right now.
I'm pissed off about it.
I'm very sad about it because he's going to end up getting hurt.
No, I'm not sad about it. I'm pissed off because people are recognizing him more than he has me.
Yeah.
Well, he has better hair than you do.
Everybody has better hair than he does.
Have you seen the receding hairline? It's so bad.
It's almost as bad as mine.
No, you.
He's got the Dracula look going.
You know what? Kiss my ass. I love garlic.
Anyway, so you started off in backyards. What happened next?
I just got out of it as I get older, probably about 19, 20 years old. I just lost interest in it. I went to college for computer programming and computer sciences and web design, and then we moved to Georgia in 2005 and had zero interest in wrestling until about 2000 probably 7 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a local show in Ringgold, Georgia, AWF.
Oh no.
oh no is the perfect description for that.
Tyler's face when you said that.
It's okay. So I sat down in the chair. Luckily it didn't break. That's a good thing. And the very first, I guess, segment of the show was a guy coming out in a Michael Myers costume and then Luke Gallows coming out as Kane. And once I saw the Michael Myers character, and these guys never got in the ring. Like, it was literally 35 minutes around the ring of nothing.
What's up, Tyler? Are you ready to burst?
No.
And we got up and left.
No. Well, you did that smart. You did smart.
So you didn't see the rest of the card?
No, we did not see the rest of the show.
So, Tyler, I see you holding things back over there, and you know we don't like you to hold things back because we love angry Tyler. Be angry, Tyler.
I'm not angry. it's not even anger. It's just, you know, a thing that we should be doing for a while. It's called the Try Not to Laugh Challenge.
And yeah.
Kind of forgot about what we need to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm practicing.
Well, you win.
I always lose, so.
I do most of the time, so.
When I left the show, I really hoped that all of the wrestling in the area wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go to some other shows. I went to a show in Tryon, Georgia that had, and I don't know, I wasn't involved in the wrestling scene down here at that time, so I don't even remember what it was called. I know Jake the Snake Roberts was on it, Glacier was on it, and I think that's all I remember from it.
Was it OCWA?
It was in the building that burned down.
Same place. I don't know if it's the same promotion.
Okay.
But, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it was much better.
Okay.
It was much better. After that, I had changed my major in college from computer programming and web design to public speaking. So I love to talk. And one of the classes was go out and find places where people do entertainment in your area. So I went out, and I love wrestling. So it's like, okay, let's find a show. And I found Empire Wrestling.
Ah,
that is a big improvement from that place.
Huge.
That shall not be named.
You named him already.
Oh, I gave him publicity?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
We'll bleep it out.
Well, it's okay. They're shut down now. So
make sure
matter.
It says beep. Included with the town is saying boo.
So you found Empire, so you showed up as a fan?
I started as a fan, yeah.
Okay.
And I went to probably two or three shows, and I lost my job that I was working at the time, and I had an absolutely massive wrestling collection. LJNs, Hasbros, Remcos, Galoobs, Poppies, just anything you could think of pro wrestling.
Sweet Jesus.
And I ventured to the East Ridge Flea Market at the time, met Lewis White. Hey, I've got big wrestling collection I need to sell. Who do I need to get a hold of? You want to buy it? It's like, well, what do you have? So I sent him pictures. And it was literally over 1,000 items. And he's like, I can't do that, but talk to this guy. He can help you. And it was Andrew Alexander. Worked for Empire Wrestling forever. And was one of the backbones there. And that was how I met him, struck up a friendship, and he actually helped me sell all the items I needed to sell. And told him, hey, we've been coming to Empire. What would I need to do to get in doing something? You know, I've always loved wrestling. What can I do to help? And Buzz Parker had just announced that he was going to quit being ring announcer. So I was like, oh, I can do that. I love to talk. I have a good voice for it. I can do announcing. And they had just hired Steve Dave, so I missed out by like 2 weeks.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And he gave you a high five. Sorry.
He can't give high fives.
So, I'm sorry, Steve.
Oh, man, we pick on him so much on this show.
Jennifer back here. Sorry,
so,
honey.
Even though I missed out on the opportunity with Empire, Drew Delight sent me down to Deep Southern Championship Wrestling to talk to Woody. Mm-hmm. That was where I got my start.
Okay, so you started with Woody. So you started off just ring announcing, right?
Just ring announcing.
When did you finally start getting into managing?
It was like 2013 or 2014.
Who was the first person you managed?
The first person I managed was Mr. JD.
Oh, it was? Really?
Yes.
I was the first person. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool.
The reason you're the first person I managed is for almost a year before that at Empire, They were wanting to transition me from ring announcing to a manager. So I was helping out Drew Delight with training, and I was doing character development for him. And he was like, man, I wish you could be a manager. You're a great heel. I love it. You have good psychology. And I was like, all right, cool. What do I need to do? And he said, find a replacement ring announcer. And that was the end of my aspirations to be a manager at Empire. I went through four guys in about 6 months.
Yeah, I can believe it.
That just quit showing up.
I don't know what it is about ring announcers, but like, unless you find a really good one, you'll have flaky ones that'll show up like once a week and then, or once a month, 2 months, and then you won't see them again.
Well, yeah. The one that I thought was going to be a good one was Chris Crunk's manager.
Okay.
Joey, yep. Whatever.
Yep.
And same thing. Like, he'd show up. Well, I'm going to tell the fucking story. Fuck that.
No, you're good. You're good.
No, go ahead.
So, and dude just pissed me off beyond belief because he'd show up, and this was before he got into really good shape. So I understand he had health problems really good and stuff. Shape. He's in really good shape now, and I'm very proud of his transformation. Tyler, you stay over there and don't you do that to me. You got your own microphone.
He's got fingers in the butthole.
Man.
Not today.
So I found him. And he showed up for probably 3 or 4 weeks, and everything was okay. And then he showed up the next week and was like, man, I'm really tired. I just don't want to do this tonight. Can you do it? And I was like, well, understand you're tired from working. What do you do for a living? I drive cars all day. And I was like, no, that's not going to work, man. You got to work. Sorry. And he stopped coming after that. So I was back to doing ring announcing.
So you ring announced for Empire like all the way through, right?
All the way through.
All the way through the last
5.5 years almost.
All right. So I was your first wrestler you managed.
Yes.
And we linked up at UEW, right?
Yeah. Ultimate Extreme Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. And Ben was booking at the time. I remember when I started there, they brought me in. Tyler, were we babyface that night when we worked that benefit show there?
Hell, beats me.
That was a Joey Lynch benefit, right?
Honestly, I don't remember. It was like...
I think it was, because that was my first night there, and I started ring announcing at UEW as well.
We did like a tag match against Joey and Ethan, and then Tyler couldn't make it back, so they flipped me heel, and then they were like, no, we want you, baby. And then they flipped me back heel, and that was when they finally put me with you.
Right.
Because I was bouncing all over the place and not really having anything to do on the card.
Had no direction.
Yeah.
I
think I was hurt.
Yeah. I think it was your shoulder at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what it was at the moment, but you weren't able to make it back for a bit. So you were my manager for a while, and they finally put a group around me, and I think you were a big part of that. So talk about that a little bit, like the formation of it, because I didn't have much to do with that. I was approached with the idea.
The formation was actually kind of a challenge for me, and it was Ryan House, Ryan Choice, and yourself. You being the best worker, talker, psychologist in the group, obviously.
You hear that? He's shooting.
Right.
I'm kidding.
Pow, pow, right? Pew, 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 pew. And it came about because I had expressed interest to Ben Thrasher in helping some of the guys who were babyface that nobody cared about. They got no reaction. They couldn't work well. They couldn't talk well. I was like, hey, I'll bet you I can get them over with my mouth and my psychology as a manager, as a heel manager. Everybody in the fucking locker room laughed. No way. They're terrible. Never work. By the time UEW closed down, JD Rollins at the time went on to be UEW Heritage Champion.
Longest reigning, actually.
Longest reigning UEW Heritage Champion. And Ryan House and Ryan Choice were the UEW Tag Team Champions. And bar none, the most overheel tag team in the company.
Yeah.
Thanks to psychology. We did a contest at UEW for Halloween where people could come up and pay like $1 to put a pie in the face of a heel that they didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Sold the most pies. Without a doubt. Not even close. And drew ire from some of the guys there that were like, well, you can't do that. That doesn't count. You're not a draw.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so how many pies did you sell? Not even fucking close.
You got those sour people in life.
Guess I'm a sour person, man.
No, I'm not talking about your kind of sour. You actually help people. I'm talking about people that hometown heroes, quote unquote,
right,
that stay in one place.
Oh, the big
years.
Fish in a small pond.
Yeah,
these are the people that
are sour.
Yeah.
To where
it's a shame.
We're to where we make our towns, and we actually help others to do better instead of saying, "Oh, well, back in my day, well, we did this, and what do they have to?"
Yeah, they have nothing to show for it but a bad reputation.
So I applaud you for helping JD out and others too.
Yeah, and I'll say real quick, he definitely helped me out a lot when he was managing me, because like he handled my bookings, my pay. Like he got me more pay just about everywhere I went than I would have gotten without a manager. Yeah. I mean, travel, he handled everything. Like, he was an actual wrestling manager. It wasn't like he just showed up at the show, walked out with me, said a few words, and then we never saw each other again afterwards. I mean, that dude was
there.
That
wasn't a gimmick.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, he was a legit wrestling manager. And he's doing the same. Who are you managing right now?
Rock Candy Cameron Cox.
That's right. So you're doing the same for him, too,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Him and Freddie Reckless was the tag team that I moved on to after Ryan Choice and Ryan House disbanded. And this was at EWA, Elite Wrestling Alliance, 2508 Glass Street, Chattanooga, Tennessee, for Chip Hazard. And it was the same thing. I've known Chip forever. I was like, hey, you got anybody I can work with? I can help him out, you know? I'll teach him how to cut promos, teach him how to do vignettes, teach him psychology. I can't bump, but I can teach him everything else.
Yeah.
You know? And Cameron and Freddie were exactly the same way. They had great potential, couldn't talk their way out of a wet paper bag. And in the 3 years that I've worked with Cameron, we're not talking about Savage Roberts on this show. Put your fucking phone down. Now,
we'll
before I was
that,
so rude,
me.
No, we won't. I'll leave.
I've got the keys. You can't go anywhere, buddy.
Fuck. You let me out, please? So anyway, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything psychology-wise. I've taught Cameron now to the point where I can be like, J.D. Rollins, go. And he can cut a 30-second promo, a minute promo, two-minute promo, or talk out of his ass for 10 minutes from not being able to say three words together that made sense.
Yeah, I'll say, I remember you were still managing me when Cameron started riding with us.
Right.
And he and I went to a few shows and worked with each other just because, you know, nobody else to work when you show up at a show.
Right.
Why don't you work the person you rode with? And Cameron was decent in the ring, had a good awareness, but like you said, did not know how to work a crowd. Did not know how to talk.
Not a bit.
So speaking of Cameron, how does he afford, how do you, Gabriel Walters, afford to replace all those Guitar Hero controllers?
Good God, that's a good question.
Actually, it's funny. We've went through, I think, 29 guitars in the past year.
29?
29 guitars.
I didn't know there were still 29 Guitar Hero guitars still existed.
Neither did I. And
this is a new meaning to Jeff Jarrett.
And most of them that have been broken have been my fault.
Yeah. Have you said slap nuts every time you used it?
No, but I'm pretty sure I've said fuck you to a couple of the guys I've hit with them. It's because I didn't like them. They had bad attitudes. They were poor workers. And they would bitch and complain about every fucking thing that you asked
them. That sounds like me every week at a show. Why don't you hate me? Don't give me a high five. You just...
I don't hate you. Okay, thanks for the high five. I appreciate it. I don't hate you because... You bitch and complain about things when they don't make sense. I bitch and complain about things when they don't make sense. These guys bitch and complain when shit makes sense, but they're not going over.
It's not beneficial to them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Instead of worrying about what's beneficial to the company they're working for, they're worried about their ego. And it's not cool.
That's like literally every wrestler these days, though. Yeah. Let's just be honest.
What
like,
the hell, dude? I'm sitting right here.
I'm not talking about us or even like... Okay, on some level, we're all out for our bottom line, period.
Sure, yeah.
All of us.
We all have interests.
But then, like, there's a lot of guys that's all they give a shit about is their bottom line. They don't care about the health of the business. They don't care about what direction anything's going in. They care about whether or not the crowd thinks they're cool.
Yeah. And, I mean, you gotta, if you understand the business, it's like Terry Funk, when he was introduced at ECW, he wasn't like all the other names that were at the business for such a long time.
Yeah.
They were still holding on to the spot. All Terry Funk was doing was getting the next generation ready.
Right.
very, very, very generous, and there's not too much of that anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of why, like on the spot that I'm at now, like, hey, we want to put a title on, and he's like, no, I want to help these guys out.
Help the kids out, yeah.
And that's,
pass it on.
Yeah, that's my goal as of now.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at, too. Like, I mean, hell, this last year, until we won the tag titles last week, I hadn't won a match all year.
Right.
I walked in, and it was pin me, pay me.
Right.
Yeah, so do you guys know a guy named Matt Sex Sells?
I do.
Oh, my gosh. But anywho, he gets it, though, too. Yeah. I love Matt. He's legitimately one of my favorite people in wrestling right now.
I like Matt. And just to put him over a little bit more, I recently got Cameron booked at Georgia Premier Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
where Matt Sells has been a regular.
Yeah.
And introduced Cameron to Matt. It's like, hey, he kind of does, you know, a little bit of the same stuff you do. Do you mind watching and seeing, you know, what he can do better? Can you help Cameron out? The happiest person in the world to help Cameron. Just anything he could do to be like, hey, I saw this.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah.
That's great.
Matt's, he's really helpful with that as well. Yeah. Like, he's been in the business longer than all of us, even me.
Okay.
He's probably been in a couple of years longer than I have. Mm-hmm. But he really understands, like, how to get people over and psychology and stuff like that. Dude, I'm trying not to burp into this thing. But, yeah, Matt understands business, like, and he's a merch freak, too. If you've seen
He has everything.
Good God.
Literally everything.
Like, I have one of his shirts. I want to buy like five more, and I strongly recommend.
I got the yellow one.
I got the yellow one as well.
At Scenic City.
Yeah. If you want to buy some merch from Matt Sells, I would strongly recommend buying some because he's got a ton of stuff: sunglasses, t-shirts. What was those? Koozies?
Koozies. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got koozies as well. Yeah. Check him out on Facebook and at Twitter at All Sells Final.
Yep.
And you won't be disappointed.
All right. So right now, since we've kind of gone through your history as manager, what do you got going on current day?
Current date, we actually just got done working yesterday for Georgia Wrestling Extreme.
That's like crazy far away you were talking about.
Yeah, it's in Eastman, Georgia.
Which I still don't think exists.
The town's
run by Jerry Stevens. Everybody there was super nice.
Yeah.
Super, super nice.
Sorry, I'm just kidding.
Everybody there was great, though. They were all professional. Good venue, air-conditioned.
Oh, that's always a plus.
It was quite a nice trip.
Months.
Yeah.
So, where else are you working on the regular with Cameron? Where are you taking him? We'll get to that in a little bit. So, where else are you kind of taking Cameron to right now?
On the regular?
Yeah.
We're regulars at North Georgia Wrestling Alliance, which is in Subligna, Georgia. Mm-hmm. They run once a month. Their next show is going to be Saturday, September the 7th,
okay.
At the Subligna Community Center. Other than that, we are regulars at Georgia Premier Wrestling, which you can find in Canton, Georgia, as well as Elite Wrestling Alliance right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
All right, man. We'll get into some stories here in a minute right after the break. We're going to take a break right now and let you hear a little bit about Tyler's Tax Show.
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll come back and get some fun stories from Gabe.
Absolutely.
Got any plans October 5th, 2019? Dalton Fairgrounds represents Clash at Carpet City 2. Proceeds to benefit the Carter Hope Center. See talents such as Joey Lynch, Gary J, Warhorse, Jake Murphy, Shane Daniels, Drew Game, Tiger Kid, The Movement, Chip Hazard, and Talon Williams, The Honey Badger, Chase Jordan, Thomas Shear, and Colt Cabana, and many more. Tickets start at $15 front row. Those are going fast. General admission $10 for adults. Kids that are ages 6 through 11 are $5, and kids under 6 are free with a paid adult admission. Groups of 8 or more, $5 each, but these are pre-purchase only. If you want your tickets, please call 706-226-7044. Doors open at 5:30. Bell time is at 7 on the dot. Thank you to our sponsors, North Georgia Toyota, Price Busters, Lock Guys of Dalton, Georgia, Soul Sisters Boutique,
Cleveland, Tennessee bands shot down south. Modern Woodman, Fraternal Financial, and Not Another Freaking Wrestling Podcast. Be there.
All right, Tyler, thanks for giving us that info about your tax show.
Yeah, whatever.
We are back.
Shut up.
We are back, and Tyler is locked in a intense fantasy football draft.
I'm going to kill Matt Sells for this thing. I hope his team sucks.
So we're back with our guest, Gabe Walters. Gabe, so you just gave us a little background on you. So let's start off with something fun. What's your favorite memory from a wrestling show?
My favorite memory was also probably one of my worst.
Oh, really?
It was actually the night I started managing you.
Why?
So, well, it's the worst, obviously, because I got stuck with you.
That's true. That's true.
No, it's the worst because I was like, you know, a neutral. I was a ring announcer.
Yeah.
Fans would cheer me when I cheer the good, when I'd announce the good guy, and boo me when I announced the bad guys. And when I turned, the whole crowd was silent. They were like, what the hell? He's the ring announcer. He's not supposed to do that. We're headed to the back, and a little kid comes up behind me and hits me in the back. Boom. I turn around and go, sit down. And his mom goes to get up. Her dad, sitting next to her, and says, sit down. I got this. Stands up and pulls a knife out.
Oh, I remember this.
Ooh. And... yeah. Head of security, Big Bobby, is standing behind me, refuses to fucking move. So I'm backing up, trying to get away from the guy with a knife. And he thinks this is a fucking joke. I can't get by him. So I push him out of the way, go to the locker room and lock the door. Waited there until 1 o'clock in the morning to leave, because the people would not leave until I came out. And that's, like, I have a really bad reputation about being outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there's people in the business that do shit that's fucked up, I'm going to be the angry little gnome that says, hey, motherfucker, don't do that.
So we have two.
Why are you doing that?
So we have two little angry gnomes in this room.
I'm not little anymore.
He's swole now.
So.
Oh, thank you.
Let's just say swollen short gnome over there. Yeah, that works for me.
You know, whatever.
He's in very deep concentration right now.
No, I'm paying attention. Go ahead.
Matt Sells has taken all his favorite picks.
Yeah. And it made me mad, one, because the security guard not only refused to do their job, which is protect the wrestlers. That's literally what you're there for, is to keep the fans away from the wrestlers. And he put my life in danger by not moving out of the way. And not as important as that, there was also a spot I was supposed to do later on in the next match that I couldn't do now. So now we fucked up a story, too. I literally can't stand when things happen like that. Like, if you're going to be in the pro wrestling business, smarten yourself up. If you're going to hire someone in the pro wrestling business, smarten them up. It protects not only the fans, but it protects your workers. And I know people say that without fans, there's no wrestling. But without workers, there's literally no wrestling.
That's something the three of us in this room have all bitched about at some point as security guards at shows.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. It's like, and no offense to the promoters out there, because you're hiring whoever will work for you.
I know you're not talking to me about this one.
No. It's the fact that like a lot of promoters will just throw a security shirt on someone and assume they know what to do. The fact of the matter is, half these people working security should not be working security.
No, not at all. They should be sitting in the crowd.
Exactly.
After they bought their ticket.
Like, I was about to say, yeah, they did buy a ticket.
Like, none of them make me feel safe.
Oh, go ahead. I apologize, JD.
Like, none of these security guards, for the most part, make me feel safe.
No, they don't. Like, they make me worry about doing my job.
Exactly. If I'm in the ring, because I mean, Tyler and I get pretty good heat most of the time.
Right.
I don't want to have to fight my way to the back because security guard don't fuck what they're doing.
Right.
That shit's dumb. So, I mean, if you're a security guard and wrestling, you're listening to this, your job is to stay between the wrestlers and the fans. Do your fucking job.
Right. It's not an ultra VIP package to enjoy the show ringside.
Okay, to be fair, how many times have you guys heard me talk to these security guys at EWA?
Numerous times.
Numerous times. And I've done the same thing. I know JD has.
Yeah.
And I know other people have as well.
And I'm not trying to, like, pick fun at anybody or bury anybody, but, I mean, it comes to a point to where you just say stuff over and over again. It's like you're talking to a wall.
They just don't listen.
Yeah, and what do you do from there? Oh, by the way, for my show, tax show, guess who my security is, Gabriel?
Who's your security?
I need you to keep the drugs at home because it's Georgia State Patrol.
Oh, man.
That actually makes me feel pretty good about that show.
Yes. So, wait, does that mean that me and Cameron can't work the show now?
Oh, you can. I'm just telling you, keep your goodies at home.
Oh, keep the goodies. Okay.
Bring edibles.
So, just bring the...
Yeah. Okay. Bring gummy bears.
Only edibles. Got it. Yeah. I'll make a note.
Oh, it's my turn to pick.
So, on the security thing, there's been other shows that I've worked with Cameron that we've been asked not to come back to because of inept security guards. The next place, or always we'll start with the first place, was Tennessee Wrestling Alliance, Pikeville, Tennessee, run by Buzz Parker.
It's not that TWA, buddy.
No, I know.
Not the good one.
Yeah, I know. Well,
and nothing against Buzz. I like Buzz. He does what he can with what he has.
Yeah.
I love Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz is a good dude.
He's a victim of circumstance, that's all. The show's out in the middle of nowhere. There's not a lot of people there to pick from that are going to be willing to drive up there and work, whether it be as a security guard, a ref, or a wrestler, you know? And they brought in this security guard who the week before was a fan. He sits in the crowd with a banner that says Omega Virus at every show.
I feel safe.
Don't you?
Yeah.
So if you're a heel in professional wrestling, even if you're a babyface, the moment you walk out of the curtain, your character's on, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's
supposed to be anyhow if you're any fucking good. So go out. And mind you, in the back, I have already shaken this guy's hand, shaken his kid's hand, shaken his wife's hand, told them I hope they had a great week. It was great to see them. Being nice. They told me not to shake babies anymore.
Okay. Okay.
So I can't do that. I don't understand the problem.
Six is a thing, people.
Apparently scrambled eggs don't go in the head. So,
God dang, dude.
So, I'm nice to this guy behind the curtain.
Yeah.
As you're supposed to be. Professional, right? Go out to the ring, and these security guards are supposed to take the wrestler's gear, take it to the back.
Yeah, like every other security guard that doesn't do it, but yeah.
Yeah. So, this guy didn't do it. So, I picked up Cameron's shirt, wadded it up in a ball, tossed it at his chest. Said, "Do your job, security." He flipped his shit.
Wow.
He threw the shirt down. Said, "If you throw another goddamn thing at me again, I'll take this fucking security shirt off and beat your midget ass.
Oh, good God.
I ain't like these other fucking security guards."
Oh, well.
Whoa. I went over, picked up the shirt, walked to the back, and literally had a meltdown.
Wow. Whew.
Somebody would have gotten their ass beat.
No, somebody would have gotten rockied.
So,
we'll talk about that.
Unfortunately, I didn't have you there to back me up, Tyler.
Okay. Next time.
I'm not the biggest guy in every locker room.
I'm not either, but.
Yeah, but he's got me.
Story. Yeah.
So I go to the back and proceed to flip out over this.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a family show, right?
Yeah.
And your fucking security guards aren't supposed to be marks. So get to the back, tell the booker, "Hey, why don't you tell your security guard what he's supposed to do? I just got done shaking this guy's hand. Doesn't he understand that when I go through the curtain, I'm a character?" Oh, we didn't smarten him up.
Oh, man.
Why? We want him to be excited about the show.
What?
So you want your fans to put on security shirts and stand around the ring and not protect the workers. We just don't want to smarten them up.
That doesn't make any sense.
So I said, "Well, it's fine. You can either have me and Cameron, you can have your Mark security guard."
And they chose the Mark security guard.
They chose the Mark security guard.
I guess security is that hard to find around there.
Yeah,
it
I
is.
Guess.
another thing that's a horror story for me was AACWA, Dalton, Georgia.
That is a horror story. You just say the name. It's like,
so
you need an exorcism going after you go to that place.
Elite Wrestling Alliance had shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for a place for Cameron to work and just keep ring time so he didn't get rusty.
Yeah.
You know? Reached out to Chief, and my whole time in wrestling, I've heard horror stories about Chief. He doesn't pay guys. He's mean. He's awful. He's stupid. Blah, blah, blah. Chief was never nothing but nice to me and Cameron, so I can't put any of this on him. He paid us every time, every week, without question.
Was it green and was it paper?
Sometimes it was quarters, but that's not important. We got paid exactly what we were promised every week.
Better than nothing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I never had a store turn down the money. So, like, hey, where'd you get this old Monopoly money? I've been looking for that for my set. And so anyway, they have live commentary there.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about this.
Yeah. And live commentary, the staple of the backbone of independent wrestling.
Yeah,
you know you've arrived when you have live commentary on the show you're working.
You go ahead and talk. I'm not going to say anything.
That's probably a great way to keep your sponsorship.
We both said enough on this subject.
Yeah. So anyway, heel manager, right? I get to go out to the ring and cut promos to get stories over. The whole time I'm cutting a promo, guy on commentary is talking over me, yelling at me.
Mm.
So I let it slide for a few weeks. Stupid. That's
wow,
on me.
That's 3 weeks longer than I would.
Right?
Go ahead.
That's 3 minutes longer than I would.
Well, it was a new place, you know, a new show. I don't know anybody there. I don't want to ruffle any feathers right off the bat. I'm get there. I'm sure of it. Positive. Eventually, shit's going to hit the fan. Another 2 or 3 weeks go by. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. So I go up to the guy, and I'm like, hey, man, can I talk to you for a second? Said, I would appreciate it if you didn't talk over me when I'm cutting a promo. The promoter tells me to come out here and tell a story to the fans. I can't tell a story to the fans when you're yelling every time I open my mouth. Please don't do that anymore. I've never had a problem with anybody else. I'd appreciate it if you didn't do it. Okay. And I let it go with that. For a week or two, it was fine. He toned it back. Then after the next few weeks, just right back. Every time I opened my mouth, he'd be running his mouth. Finally, It got to the point where I'd go out to the ring, go up to the commentary table, say, give me a mic. Because when you go out of the curtain, your character's on, right?
Yeah.
Refused to give me a microphone. So there's another commentator next to him, Kevin Walker. Kevin Walker, always
quit
super nice.
Back there.
Hi. So Kevin Walker, always professional to me. Other people have horror stories about him. That's fine. He was always nice and respectful to me and Cameron. That's what's important to me. He would hand me a microphone every time. I wasn't supposed to take Kevin's microphone because it wasn't the good microphone at the show. So it would break in and out. But when you're trying to get the good microphone and nobody will give it to you, beggars can't be choosers. Take the bad microphone. This went on for about a month and a half. And the other commentator, finally, I had enough. There was a promo that I had to go out and cut for an important storyline for a bigger show at AACWA. And he refused to give me the mic. So I went to act like I was going to yank the microphone out of Kevin's hand, and I yanked the microphone out of this dude's hand. I get the good microphone for a change.
Slick. Pretty good.
Yeah. And he fell for it twice in the same segment. So I get done cutting my promo. They have the match. Match goes on without a hitch. Wonderful. Put the microphone down. Go to the back. As I'm going to the back, and this guy is a preacher, by the way. This is very important to the story. Go to the back. He is literally on my back, screaming in my ear through the locker room. If you ever take a microphone away from me, I said, man, just give me the microphone. We wouldn't have this problem. I asked you like 100 times when I come out, give me the microphone. Don't talk when I'm talking. Why is that so hard for you? Well, I've been doing this forever, and I've never had a problem with anybody else but you.
Christ. How long was forever?
I don't know. Probably like 3 years. And I was like, all right, cool. So here's the deal. Name me one televised wrestling show where the commentators talk over the performers. And I'll tell you I'm sorry. And I will, we'll end it right there. Just one. Well, I don't care what other people do. This is just what I want. And what's if you ever take a microphone away from, and I'm trying to be nice to the guy, because he's a preacher. And I understand he doesn't get it. But I had enough, you know? And he's like, well, if you do it again, it's not going to be good for you.
Wait a minute, Kevin Walker told you this?
No, not Kevin Walker.
Oh, okay.
The other guy.
Because he is too.
Huh?
Right?
What?
Kevin Walker.
What about him?
Preaches.
I don't know if he preaches or not.
Yeah, I thought so.
I have no idea.
I thought so.
No, this is the other guy that gave me problems.
What's his name? If you don't want to say it on air, just whisper
Scott
in my
ear. Scott. His kid wrestles. Same thing. At the beginning of the shows, show up to the show every week, shake the dude's hand, shake his kid's hand, get in the ring with the kid and help him train. Try and teach him how to talk. At the end of the show, same thing. Shake hands, give the kid a hug. Brother, I hope you have a great week. If you need anything, let me know. I'm happy to help you learn. Just blows off, like, attitude out the ass.
Yeah.
And finally, I had had enough. I set my shit down, and I was like, all right, let's go. Because I had enough of his attitude. And I was like, man, I've been doing this way longer than you have. I've learned from people in the Southeast that have been on really, really good shows. Mm-hmm. Some of them have made it to the big card. Whether they stayed there or not is another story.
Yeah.
But they've made it. So I know what I'm doing is right. And I squared up. He turned around and fucking walked away.
He walked away from you?
Walked away from me.
Ooh.
The angry fucking garden gnome. So,
well, okay.
His wife decides to run her mouth on Facebook. I decided to run my mouth on Facebook. Talked to Chief.
Ooh, I remember this. I was a part of it. Yeah, go ahead. We're going to talk about this.
That's the Primogen kicking in.
There's a reason why I didn't mention certain things about this conversation because of a certain person in it. But go ahead and tell your story.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to get into all the juicy details. I'll leave that for you, Tyler.
Oh, don't you worry about that. with the 116th pick, Tyler's team picks Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. You got
it. The what pick?
116th pick.
How the fuck was Tom Brady available at 116?
Nobody's thinking about, like, other positions, but go ahead.
Oh.
Sorry.
So, wife runs her mouth on Facebook. She has to fight this dude's battles for him, apparently. Something about, if you ever talk to my husband like that again, I'll beat your fucking ass.
Yeah, you son of a...
Da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, lady, the only thing you beat up is a buffet.
God damn it, that hurt.
Ooh.
Ow, fuck.
Always be selling, right? Always be working.
Dr. Pepper came out my damn nose.
Is that a first on the show?
Yeah.
High five. Can I get a high five for
is
that?
It?
Awesome.
Yeah, I've never snorted coke on the show.
You never snorted coke in
your... Well, okay. That sounded a lot worse than it actually was. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not in here doing illegal drugs.
Ladies and gentlemen, the activities of JD are not necessarily the activities of the fine sponsors of this podcast.
But boy, is he hopper right now.
Yeah, buddy.
I wish I was high, bro.
He's up on the table.
Sleep.
He's out of his chair. So we go back and forth a little bit, and they had a thing where they would call me Oompa Loompa, because I'm short, I'm fat, and I'm nice and tan, unlike them. So I get to be called an Oompa Loompa everywhere I go. So I proceeded to post a picture of the Lollipop Guild, which is exactly what this dude looks like. And it just got nasty and nasty from there, and eventually I deleted all my shit and blocked him.
That's smart, buddy.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Sometimes.
No, it's smart.
And I told Chief, I was like, man, look, I can't work around people like this. It's not professional, and... I was hurting to go to the show and work.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go.
Yeah, that's a horrible feeling. Yeah. I've had that.
And I fucking love professional wrestling. I love it. Like, it's something I've always wanted to do. Who did Matt steal from you this time?
It wasn't Matt. It was a person before me. They picked a kicker that I wanted, so I'm going to have to go with Adam Vinatieri.
Vinatieri.
All right.
Yeah, he's still playing. By the way, I want to go back to that story.
All right, go ahead.
With the Facebook stuff.
Yeah, Facebook.
So, I want to point something out right now. If you were a girlfriend or a wife, and I use that term super loosely.
Very loosely.
Or a rat.
We're going to use that term.
Or a rat.
If you've ruined a home and you wanted to, like, say what disrespect is and stuff like that, but you have clearly made history of literally ruining a marriage and a family, I need you to do yourself a favor, Denise.
Oh!
What I need you to do...
God damn!
...is really focus on what you're saying. Because these things build up. It's like you're cooking on a slow cooker, like you're cooking roast with carrots, with potatoes, maybe even onions. Who knows?
Mushrooms!
You let that stuff cook. You give it time for about 6 to 8 hours on a slow one. And it's fantastic when you open it up and you let the aroma out. This is the aroma, Denise. You really need to be quiet. Please. Because...
Oh, wait, is this a chick you put Jesse on?
No.
Oh, never mind then.
I wouldn't pin anybody on this person. I'm not going to go on history with her because, to be fair, I don't know how many marriages or relationships she's ruined. You know I'm telling the truth, hun. But next time, be quiet because you had zero reason to say anything. And you're like, well, this is a business and you shouldn't disrespect and blah, 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 blah. But there is so much juice there on you that, one, you need to take a bath in it, and two, you stop.
Hey, she knows intimate details of this business. You know, like what size underwear the guys wear.
She don't know what size I wear. Well, let's put that way.
Some of the guys.
But please, if you are known to go to different towns, and I'm speaking to all the ladies out there. If you're known to go to different towns and ruin marriages, and for your own sexual pleasure, do yourself a favor. Stay home, watch Days of Our Lives, and go away. You've already ruined enough of what was going on in somebody's relationship. Quit trying to ruin everybody else's on some bullshit that you think you fucking know.
Are we clear on that? I might add, was not involved in anything that happened. Exactly. Had no idea what was going on.
Exactly, and that's why I wanted to say something on here when you were here instead of me going on Facebook to saying what I had to say, because she needs to hear my voice. She probably won't anyway because she can't afford the internet.
True story.
And she's probably still using one of those flip phones. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing
Nokia
wrong with
all the way.
There's nothing wrong with a flip phone or anything like that. I mean... But still,
mind your business. Yeah.
Mind your business.
Right.
All right, so let's take a turn into something more fun.
Like
fun.
These nuts.
Something we unfortunately do horribly every week, and we're going to try to turn that around this week. Let's play the name game.
The name game, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this.
Because you will shoot on some people, and I know it.
Let's go.
No, you won't.
All right, so let's start it off with a name we already talked about earlier. Or you said you didn't want to talk about earlier. Savin Roberts.
Savin Roberts. I love you, JD. Yeah. Savin Roberts, leader of Omega Virus. I had the misfortune of managing them twice.
Twice, really?
I went back twice for that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Second time was much shorter than the first. And great potential, I think, at times, because of his creative ideas. But business-wise, I have never managed someone that had heat with so many different people besides myself. Like, I didn't understand it. Like, I managed him, and he'd have heat with guy number A. I'd squash heat with guy number A, and literally the very next day, he'd have heat with three other people. So I'd go and squash that, and then the next day, there was four more people. And, like, these are guys that are well-known, like Shane Daniels, Ray Fury, Drew Game, Woody.
By the way, we mentioned Rick. Shane's name again.
Yep. Shane checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail.
Fuck! Not getting paid again.
It's every episode.
Yeah, it happens.
Brad Cash, 7.
Damn. Yeah, he was 7? I mean, I wouldn't want heat with 7.
Nah.
No.
No.
And, like, I just didn't understand it. I didn't get it. And, like, it literally hinders him in the ability to get bookings. That's why he's at 3 shows.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't understand that it's a business, and sometimes you have to look at the promoter and go, man, I'm sorry, I'd love to come work for you again. When it's a good promoter, like Woody.
Yeah.
Or like Woody used to be. He's not running now. It's for the benefit of yourself and your group. And just fucking refused over and over again to squash heat. So I'm going to say potential, but gets in his own way too much.
Tyler, you got one ready?
Yeah, I do. That's a good one. Hope you're ready, brother.
Brother? Uh-huh. Let's get it.
What's going to be a name? This name is Donovan Daniels.
I don't know Donovan Daniels.
You don't know Donovan Daniels? Nope. Okay, let's go to the next one. He's not important anyway.
Sorry. Sorry, Donovan, if you're a great worker, I apologize. I've just not worked.
He's co-promoter of Kapow Wrestling in Knoxville. Oh. He used to be a worker.
Okay.
I forgot you didn't deal with that area, so that's my fault. We got to go to the next name. Well, let's see. He's not here, so Jake Murphy.
I like Jake. I actually like Jake. I do. He is
not to like Jake.
I know it is.
At first, I met him going with you, JD, to Ego for Barry.
Yep.
And he seemed arrogant and stuck up. Jake did.
What?
And I didn't know him. But it's not arrogant and stuck up. It's confidence. Like, Jake he is one of the best people that Barry books. He's one of the best workers in the entire Southeast. And for being so young, he's fucking limitless.
Wow, he's really going to appreciate that because he's a year older than me.
He's a year older than you?
Yeah.
So I didn't know he was 42.
Ooh. He definitely looks like he's a vampire, though. He's got vampire quality.
Yeah.
All right, so one of the newer guys on the scene right now, Ben Carter.
I like Ben. I got to work with him at EWA.
Really?
At Chip Hazard's show. And he got to work with Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
And after the match, sat down with Cameron and was like, hey, dude, I like ABCD. I don't like ABCD. And like the fact that he took the time to sit down and do that, it meant a lot to me and it meant a lot to Cameron. Because he didn't have to, especially traveling so far away. He's just been like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm done.
This is the first time we've mentioned his name on the show so far, so let me just say real quick. If you don't know who Ben Carter is, look him the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
That motherfucker is his potential is exponential. That dude has so...
Graduated
Seth Rollins Black and Brave Wrestling School. The dude is
He's
incredible, and he's such an athlete.
He was a finalist in this year's Scenic City Future Showcase, and him, Bobby Flacco, and Manders was fantastic.
He was
very good, and I saw Ben in a whole new level in that match. He was always very good, but with something that big of a stage or story or whatever.
Like he's done it 100 times.
Holy smokes. Fantastic.
Like, when you looked at the three of them in the ring, he was the one that looked like the superstar.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like
he has a presence.
And don't get me wrong, like Manders had a presence, but Ben outshone him as far as presence in that match.
Sure, yeah.
And that's no offense whatsoever. It just speaks to Ben's ability.
And all three guys are very good.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bobby in that match, and I hate to sway off, but a second, want to mention this. Bobby was a little off.
Yeah,
it's
timing.
Like he was thinking a little too much.
Timing was a little off on a lot of stuff.
But Ben was like, it was crisp and perfect. Manders, again, was super good.
Yeah, he was a ring general on that
one. He's got a future in this business as well. All three of the guys do. I hope nothing but good success for him. But, yeah,
Don't know Ben.
He's a star.
Really need to check him out. Yeah, yep. He's really
a star in the making for sure.
Tyler, you got another one?
Ah, yes.
Is it that bad? We've already talked about Savin. Settle down.
Oh God, Savin's cousin Devin Ayer.
Bailey Fry.
Bailey Fry.
The example of what not to do in professional wrestling. I'm saying this because Lord knows I tried to help the kid.
We all did.
Yeah.
And it was literally give him feedback. Yeah, but. And I was like, man, I ain't Jewish. Stop calling me a rabbi.
Hey, say that again.
Yeah, but. Yep.
Do it again.
Yeah, but.
Fred Flintstone, dude. You not hearing it?
Yabba dabba doo.
Oh, I get it now.
Okay.
It took a minute.
Okay.
But, like, literally, any feedback we'd give him, he'd be like, oh, yeah, well, I did this, but I did that. Like, I understand. You did shit good. Congratulations. Here's your cookie. And it just wouldn't listen. So he was floundering as a baby face, and I was working with him. And he's like, man, what can I do to get better? Only time he's ever asked me that. It's like, well, we can probably change your character, turn you heel, and I'll help get you over. You don't have to work with me forever. And, like, honestly, that was one of the reasons I got into managing, not to sidebar. But yeah. I wanted to get into wrestling, like I said earlier, to take these baby faces that nobody cares about, and they look at them as a joke, and turn them heel for 3 or 4 months, and then teach them psychology, character development, and things like that, and then have them turn on me.
Yeah.
And turn a baby face. And everyone that I've done it with, it's worked. They've turned into huge baby faces for the companies they worked for. So I came up with an idea for Devin Ayer. And pitched it to him. I can't do that. I'm not comfortable with it. Okay, why? Well, I'm not gay. I'm not gay either, but when I go out the curtain, I can be whatever I want to be. You know? It'll get you over. It'll get you nuclear heat. Nuclear heat for the time being to help get you some traction.
Yeah.
You know? After a while, we can spin it like I forced you to do it. And that's not who you really were. You can turn on me and you'll get the biggest pop of your fucking career. I promise. Just refuse to listen.
Yeah. That seems to happen a lot with you.
You remember the time when I was working with him at
AWA. AWA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Specifically, I remember where there was an intermission, and during intermission, Advantage, Taker, Tyler, Sutton decided to go out and whoop Devin Ayer's ass during intermission.
Did you, Tyler?
And it was a phenomenal beatdown.
It was.
The crowd was hot.
So,
you know, I... Just since you mentioned that, I love intermission angles. I really do. If it's not like one of those crowds that they're all going outside to smoke, if they're all just kind of milling around, I love run-ins during intermission.
Yeah.
It's completely unexpected. Fans don't see it coming, and it really generates excitement for the second half of the show.
Right, yeah. This time around, I was trying to get him to open up to be a little more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
The show a little more personality. He wanted help. I wanted to give it to him. Apparently, it was not the kind of help that he wanted. So there was just these times where I was just like, okay, I've really got to get him to really beat me down, give me a black eye. I need him to fire up, do something. He never got it.
Yeah.
And like there was finally one week where he finally fired up, but it was so mediocre. But we never saw him again.
Right.
And I figured I wanted to get his now ex-old lady semi sort of pissed at me. Like, she kind of knew it was a story, but at the same time, I wasn't making it out to be a story.
She didn't know shit.
And she didn't have a clue. She said she did, but...
Yeah, well...
It was there. I mean, I'm not trying to poke fun or... Right. Trying to do whatever.
She's not in the business.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So, you know, I would try to say stuff like, you know, cook me a steak, medium.
Yeah.
Still a book out of Chael Sonnen or whatever.
Right, give me just a second before you continue.
Okay.
Did you say old lady?
Yes.
Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're doing this deal. Like, I'm trying to get her legitimately pissed off at me. So, like, if I were to say something, like, not really derogatory, but, like, kind of borderline, mm-hmm. it would get him pissed off at me. So, like,
you mean you're getting heat, brother?
Well, more so than normal. Like, I'm actually putting extra effort in this one so I can get him to open his eyes and say, hey,
right.
give me something, dude.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, but.
Uh-huh.
It's like, dude, please work with me. Give me something. Show me that you mean this. Show me that you want this.
Right.
He never showed it to me. He never showed it to you, Gabe. No. Never showed it to JD.
Oh, no, and I helped train him like that.
Yeah.
He quit training like at least 4 times on me.
Look, you can't make fun of him for not showing up for training when the sumbitch got grounded.
It got to the point where I told him, I was like, I'm not training you anymore. Like, you can show up, but I'm not working with you anymore.
Well, with him, it's... Oh, God, how can I say this without sounding really mean?
You can't.
Bailey, I hope you're listening, but and I hope this lights a fire under you to get better, but there's no hope for you.
Next.
I hate to say that. No, I hate to say that, but
no, I understand.
If you're not going to take this serious and you're saying, oh, well, I really want to do this.
Or show any commitment whatsoever.
Well, like that's a huge problem with me for guys that I manage. Is I'll get put with a guy by the promoter or the booker who's like, hey, I think you can really help Bailey or Devin Air. I apologize. Devin Air. You can really help Bailey Fry. You can really help Cameron Cox. You could really help Austin Ace. And these motherfuckers look at me when I give them ideas like, you're going to fucking ruin my career. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's exactly it. Because I want to tell you to do something so that when I go out there and manage you, I look like a fucking fuck stick.
Yeah,
that is 100% my goal, is to make the guy that I manage completely fucking fail. You know? They don't get it. They don't fucking get it. And I don't understand why.
But, Devin, I want to believe in you, but I can't. You're not giving me a reason, or you're not giving us a reason.
You're going to have to...
Just give us one example of why we should believe in
you,
Devin.
Stop that! Bobby Heenan?
Sorry.
All right. What? Moving on. Let's stick with that class, actually, that training class. We mentioned Zach a lot in here, so I won't pick on him. Christian Garrett.
Christian Garrett, I was actually on a road trip with him yesterday.
Really?
He's grown a lot as not only a performer, but as a fucking man,
yeah.
A person, you know? One of my first interactions with Christian Garrett professionally, not at EWA as a trainee, because I tried to stay out of that as much as I could.
I was at UEW.
UEW, I apologize. Yep. Got my letters mixed up. Most of them are there. It's okay. There's just not a U in EWA. I didn't want to deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
Because of the attitude problems that were in the class.
Yeah, I remember.
Because of the Bailey Fry attitudes, the Young Garrett attitudes, and other people that were in there that literally thought we were trying to fucking ruin them instead of... knowing that we're actually trying to make them better.
Mm-hmm.
First professional experience with Garrett was, I think, at Chip's show, EWA. Again, Chip, who can I benefit with my spoken abilities? I think you'd be a good fit with Garrett. All right, cool. Bring him in. He doesn't have to do the Sunset Strip gimmick because it's not him. It's not his personality.
Yeah.
You can't give someone a gimmick if that's not at least a little bit who they are on the inside. You know, it wouldn't work no matter how much you tried. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll stay after the show. We'll shoot some videos, get you introduced, and let people know that you're now associated with Gabe Walters. You know? All right, cool, man. Can't wait. Glad to work with you. End of the show comes. I get all my stuff set up to do videos. Cameron's there. Freddie's there. Where's Garrett? Garrett's dressed and walking out the door. Hey, man. Did you forget we're doing videos? Get dressed. We'll run them real quick. Be good for you. Because at the time, we were getting between 1,500 and 2,000 views a week on our promos on Facebook and YouTube. I like when people watch my videos. I don't know why he wouldn't. So he goes, no, man, I'm going home. I was like, so you're telling me I just spent 45 minutes setting this shit up for you to be like, no, I'm going home. I just don't want to do it. I'm not comfortable speaking. It's like, all right, man, literally all you have to do is stand there behind me and watch me talk. It's okay. You don't have to say anything. Eh, I'm good. Bye. And I fucking went off. I was like, all right, fuck you then. I just wasted 45 minutes of my time to try and get your ass over to do something that would help you. You're an ungrateful fuck. Get away from me.
You say I was bad.
Go the fuck home. Go on. Go.
Why you telling me go? And he left. This is my show.
You told me to look back and forth at you two when I was talking.
You didn't have to look at me. Why are you yelling at me?
I'm standing kind of far away from the microphone. I want the people to hear me.
No, you don't have to stay far away. No, you're good, dude.
I don't want to get close to it, though. It's scary.
No, your fucking tone's scary, dude.
It is sometimes. It's a good thing.
And I'm trying not to cuss, but Jesus.
Sheesh.
You're killing me, Smalls. Get it, Smalls?
Says the guy who's the same size as me.
No, absolutely not. I've got a good 1 foot above you.
1 foot?
Oh, absolutely.
You can't lift your leg that high.
Why are you looking at my foot as I say a foot?
Oh, I tried to, but the desk is in the way.
This isn't a desk.
It's a table.
It's a table. It's the opposite of a desk.
It's more like an island.
An island.
Peninsula.
I like the island. Peninsula.
Like peninsula.
Valley?
Not no valleys.
Death Valley?
Death Valleys.
Undertaker?
I
like
Death Valleys. I mean, we talked about Undertaker. Death enough last week.
Love Undertaker.
Okay, we're out of line. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So
I was pissed, and Garrett went home. And on the way out, he told the promoter, I'm never working with him again. And the promoter told him, if you want to come back to my show, you're working with Gabe. And he didn't come back. So that was a very early experience. Mm-hmm. We've since squashed that heat.
How was that last night then?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was actually really good as far as conversation and stuff goes. I didn't get to see his match because I was busy outside fuming over the terrible match my guys had.
By the way, who did your guys wrestle?
My guys were Cameron Cox and Austin Tyler.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
And they were set to face Team CCT, I think was their name, James Swat and his tag team partner.
Say CTE? Do they get concussions?
Probably. Okay. But anyway, the James Swat's partner wasn't there.
Okay.
He was gone. He has a broken foot.
Oh, that's
so he teamed with Johnny Romano. James Swat, Johnny Romano, never met him before in my life. They're fucking good. They're very, very good wrestlers. They're good people. They were professional. They were nice. They did everything they could do to help the match go well. But as far as interaction with Garrett, it was good all night.
It's good. Garrett,
It's good to see people change.
Yeah.
You know?
And Garrett, since I know you're listening, man, I'm glad to hear you're doing good things out there. I haven't seen you in a while, but hopefully we'll get to see each other soon.
Yeah, Garrett, will you please show up at a show that I work? Yeah,
he travels all over the place, man. He has merch available. Like, check him out on Facebook.
I've been seeing him on Facebook. He's got merch out there. He's all over the place. It's just we never end up at the same show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just please show up at a show that we can do a thing again.
I'd like to work a singles with him.
I would, too. I really would, too.
It'd be entertaining.
So, who's...
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay. Let's see.
How is it this hard?
There's a lot, because there's a lot of people.
You have a friends list on Facebook.
I don't look at that stuff.
That's what I'm doing. be prepared.
Hey, there's a guy that we've never mentioned before. I really think that he needs some notoriety. Toby Farley.
I love Toby. I got to work with him.
The wives are whispering his name right now.
It's because he's awesome.
Okay, but anywho.
Worked a couple shows with him. The last time I got to see him was Revive Pro Wrestling's last show, which was up by McMinnville, Tennessee. And just an awesome guy. Like, he sat in the back, watched everybody's fucking match, and offered help with everyone. generosity. Every single match.
Yeah, that's how he is. He's real generous and willing to help and stuff. And he's been in the business for a long time, too.
Yeah.
I remember when I first broke in and he came in and he told me, I'm sorry, dude. There was one time, it was before he had luscious long hair and the beard and stuff. He was super young. He's actually like a year or so younger than I am.
Okay.
But one time he came to TWA in Dalton with some of his friends and stuff, and he worked this show. He had a hoodie on, and he pulled the hoodie off, and his hair was redder than the red on your shirt.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like, I thought he had drawn color before he got to the parking lot. I was like, dude, why would you do such a thing? No, bro, I colored my hair. What do you think? I'm like,
no.
No.
Wow.
No. No, Dennis Rodman. Don't do that. But even back then, when he was green, as I was too, it was still really good. Yeah. You couldn't really tell.
Right.
And I knew.
Like, you could tell he was special.
Yeah. Like, with the first time I saw him work, and I was like at a stage, like I was trying to picture him 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And then it was like, it was end up being 10 years later when we saw him at, I think it was Sevierville. Mm-hmm. Sevierville or Rockwood, one of the two. And I saw him work. I'm like, oh my God, why is this guy not signed yet?
Right. It baffles me.
He's unbelievable. He's very good. And I see guys like Blake Christian, which another, he's a really good talent. And Alex Zane and these guys going to Battle of Los Angeles and stuff like that. I was like, Toby, why are you not going with him? By the way, he was in Philadelphia yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So he's making his towns. He is really,
He's making states and countries.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. So he needs to be going.
But he like you said, you met him 10 years ago or some 10 years prior to the last meeting.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely positive that I can say you looked at him and went, 10 years from now, he's going to be something.
Yeah, I would never imagine how good. Like, I knew he was going to be, like, really good.
Right.
But, like, it was like a notch above what I was thinking. So good.
Yeah.
Real good.
He's amazing.
All right. So, as we finish things off today, let's get some advice. We want to get some advice from you. If there's a manager out there, anybody out there wanting to break into the business to be a manager, what advice would you give them?
Number one, get trained properly. Whether it's in your price range or out of your price range right now, if it's out of your price range, save up. You have to be trained to be effective in this business. I don't take a ton of bumps, but the bumps I do take, I know how to take safely. The best advice at being an actual manager is something I heard from Bobby Heenan, who, in my opinion, is the greatest manager of all time. Maybe a tie with Jim Cornette. Maybe. But I saw more Heenan than Cornette growing up because I was in the North. Mm-hmm. Manage like a wrestler, wrestle like a manager. When you're outside the ring and it's your turn to cheat, you don't always have to cheat. You don't have to succeed. I get a lot of great reaction in stalking. Like the guy's on the ropes and I'm lurking and I'm moving slow. And the referee will turn around, and it's like, whoa, I wasn't going to do anything. And then I'll do it again, and the referee's back will stay turned longer, and I still don't do anything. And it's like that little build, you know? And the crowd goes, instead of just giving them the pop, going, oh, shit, Gabe hit him. They go, I wonder what he was going to do. And the more you can get them to think, the better, because it gets them off their cell phone, gets them out of their bag of popcorn, and it puts their eyes in the ring where it belongs. Learn psychology.
Eat popcorn.
Lots of it.
No, I'm just kidding.
But only better made.
Yeah.
So let people know what you got going on, what you got coming up, where you're going
to
be.
Thanks to this podcast, hopefully I'll have a lot more heat with people than I already do.
Don't you worry about that. It'll pick up.
It's coming. September 7th. We're going to be at the Subligna Community Center for North Georgia Wrestling Alliance. And then September 20th, we will be at Elite Wrestling Alliance, Chattanooga, Tennessee. September 20th.
Okay, thanks for letting me know, because I didn't know.
I didn't have a clue either.
I wanted to make sure I had my dates right before I came on the show.
Well, man, thank you so much for coming in today. Like we said, we just wanted to highlight every area of wrestling, because it's not just what you see in the ring that's important. There's a lot that goes into the business that makes it work, and it's referees, it's promoters, it's managers. I mean, you need all of this to make the wrestling business keep going. So that's the reason we're going to keep bringing on a variety of guests, maybe not just wrestlers. So please keep a lookout for that. At the end of the show, we need to make an announcement real quick.
Yes, we do. Go ahead.
So as of starting next month in September, we will be launching our Patreon page. To lead up to that, for the next few weeks, we'll be releasing a few special content episodes, bonus episodes. Maybe about wrestling, it may not be. We may be doing watch-alongs. You never know what you're going to get with these bonus episodes.
Now, what I'm personally excited for is to try Not to Laugh, and that'll probably be on a watch-along as well. So, and if you've listened to our podcast, we like to laugh at dumb stuff. And I think that's going to be fantastic, too. That's just one of many things that we're going to be doing as well. So,
so what we're looking at with our Patreon page is we're looking at two tiers. One tier will get you like a shout-out on the podcast. And the second tier would get you access to all of our bonus content. We're not sure our prices yet, but give us some feedback, what you'd be willing to donate to help us out, to keep the show running, and we'll try to make sure it fits in with what everybody looks like they can afford.
Absolutely. And by the way, guys, merch is coming. We are going to have T-shirts.
That's right.
Coming soon. I can't go into details. JD, can't either, because he doesn't know what's going on either. No, I'm just kidding. But there's going to be more than one variety of T-shirts to pick from. So
we've got a lot of stuff coming up on the horizon, big things. Like we said, the Patreon page is coming up. We are looking into, I won't announce where or anything yet, but we're looking into recording a live episode even.
Yes.
So that would be a lot of fun to do. And
audience, ask us the hard questions.
Exactly. So it's going to be a lot of great things happen around here. We're really excited to bring it to you guys. Thank you again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Go check out something local.
Awesome. And bring money.
Yeah, I was about to say, somebody got to say it.
Money.